My text is in the Gospel according to St. Luke, and the first chapter, and verses 78 and 79. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Those familiar words are spoken and written here by the words of the prophecy of Zacharias, in which he refers, if you remember, to the mission of John the Baptist, and then also this reference to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, it says of his own son, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation. He sums up our Lord's ministry in these words: to give light, to give the knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Now then, this picture I have this morning to you, and I've got just three little headings in about 3 or 4 minutes on each. There's reference in this text to the tender mercy of God. We call that the heart of God. The second is, there's reference here to light to those who sit in darkness, and I've called that the hope of God. And there's also reference to guiding our feet in the way of peace, and I've called that the home, or where we're ultimately going to, the home of God. So just for a little while then, the heart of God. Verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us. Whatever else people may say about God today, and it seems to me that somebody has nearly everything you can think of to say about God, from words of blasphemy that are used in the careless, more vulgar way, from words of blasphemy where they deny God or belittle God in some way, and there's very little difference between the two. But here we talk about the God of the Bible, and we refer to him as our God. That's the wonderful thing. He is our God, and he is the one whom we worship today. And this is what Zacharias talks about him and says, that in the heart of God there is tender mercy. That's a wonderful thing. We have all sorts of feelings on a morning like this. There are many memories, many happinesses, all sorts of things go through our hearts and the circumstances of our lives. But mainly we remember this, and we, as if it were, focus our minds on the incarnation and the birth of Jesus Christ. And this makes it different from anything else. All the religions of the world, however sincere they may be, this is different. They are the efforts of men and the ideas of men. But here is the truth of our God. Our religion, our faith, is a revealed faith. It's something that comes from God to us. And it's described here as tender mercy. Now, what is this tender mercy? There's one Welsh hymn, beautifully translated, where it says, far before time, beyond creation's dawn, before the sun and moon and stars were born, salvation's way for sinners lost and done was counseled forth by God the Three in One. There, in the heart of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, there is a plan. And this plan is cradled in the tender mercy of our God. The heart of God. Now, here is the result of it. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us. It's pictorial language. The dayspring, the spring of the day. Now, you'll find in various versions, and I would say that you can put it as you like, really, because the basis of the word here is the spring of the day. The dayspring. So there's nothing wrong in saying dawn. There is nothing wrong in saying the birth of the day. There is nothing wrong in saying the rising sun. Because they all refer to where there was darkness, then suddenly we know light. You've all seen the dawn sometime or another, where either you couldn't sleep, or you were unwell, or you had to be awake or travelling, and there you saw something cutting across the darkness, and it was the dawn of another day. And here it's described as the day spring, but this time the day spring from on high. For us, the normal dawn is the dawn with the rising of the sun slowly coming, as if it was around our own little earth. We know how it is. It is the rotation of the earth and so on. We understand that. But here is a different kind of dawn. It's a dawn that comes from the heart of God. It springs from the very heart of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the world can never, never be the same again. In the book of Malachi, it is prophesied like this. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. There will be a day when the Son of Righteousness shall arise. And for us, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ears. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. The name of Jesus. Now this is the difference. He is a second person of the Trinity. He is the Son of Righteousness. And here described that in his visit to earth, where he takes on the form of a servant and has these two natures, human and divine, God speaking. What a religion we have. God speaking. Spoken many times in prophets, but here is his final word, God speaking, a day spring from on high. And we call this the day of grace, a season of repentance. The old revival people in their prayers never fail to say, it is still a day of grace and a season of repentance. And until the second coming of Jesus happens and the culmination of all things, there is opportunity to believe. There is opportunity to be saved, because it is a day of grace and a season of repentance. And this comes from the heart of God. And because it's from the heart of God, it is genuine. It is sincere, and it is full of integrity and truth. That's the first thing. The second, the hope of God. What does this day spring do? To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Where are men today? Well, you can say they're busy, they're walking here, they're walking there, they're running here, they're running there. Yes, that's true. But altogether, you can say, what is their situation? They're sitting in their sin. They're settled in their mess. They're sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. Now, what does the Bible mean by darkness and the shadow of death? It means spiritual darkness. This can be described now in ways that we are familiar with. This is a condemnation, says Jesus, that light is come into the world, and that men love darkness more than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, even though the light has come, yet men themselves can individually remain still in darkness. Why? They prefer it. Why? Their deeds are evil. Exactly the same when you lift up a heavy stone in a field, and there you find lots of little tiny creatures. And what do? They can't bear the light. They dive into the depths of the earth. Why? They are creatures of darkness. And that is the story of mankind. We don't like the light. Men turn away from the gospel because they are creatures of darkness. It is spiritual darkness. And here it is. Three little things about it. It involves a spiritual blindness. We cannot see spiritually. It involves not only spiritual death, but physical death. And this comes to us all. If we are here before the Lord comes a second time, a physical death. There is that as well. We sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Spiritual death, we cannot understand. Physical death, this little body, these little hands will be silent and lie in death. And also eternal death, where in eternity we will have had our new bodies, but not the glorious body of the believer. It will be a body of a kind, but it will be in eternal anguish. And he says, that is where you are sitting. It is a darkness that is terrible. But I've come, he said, to give light to you that are in that kind of darkness. A darkness which is a deathly one, a spiritual one, a physical one, and an eternal one. Now what have I brought, he says? From my heart, says God. A day spring from on high. From on heart, from my heart, light has come to give light to you who sit in that situation. Now what is this light? The light is the Son of God himself. It is a spiritual light. It is a light that lights up my soul. Now, what about you this morning? Is your soul lit up? Now, at Christmas time, I like decorations and those things. And some people don't like them, but I do. I like colour and so on. And we have in all the major cities and towns and villages today a special evening before Christmas Day where every or lots of people take their children to town to see the lights lit up. And all sorts of little coloured lights of red and green and so on and blue. Beautiful lights. But they'll fuse in time. And when the daylight comes, they fade into insignificance. But here is a light that when God visits the disposition, the heart of the soul, there is a light that can never ever be extinguished. The light of the Son of Righteousness. The light of God in our hearts. The light that will lighten even our deepest sorrow and heal our most dreadful wounds. Whatever it may be, it is a light that can never be extinguished. It is a spiritual light. Now, what does this light bring? It brings knowledge. That is the description of the light. To give, says verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. So we're asking Jesus now, what have you brought, Jesus, from glory? And he says, I am the day spring from on high. I am the Son of Righteousness. I brought light into this world. Is it a general light? Yes, in a way, but it doesn't mean anything to you until it is a light in your hearts. In yours. What does it do? It gives knowledge of salvation unto his people. What can be the greatest gift of all? We've had lovely gifts this morning. I doubt if there's anybody here who hasn't had something. Surely we've had something. Or during the day, we will have something. And it is a very lovely thing that we do, where we exchange presents, and we try and think what loved ones would like to have, and we endeavor to do our best to give them what we can and what we can afford. But surely, they fade in time, and by next Christmas and whatever it may be in between, we want some more gifts en route as well. And they're very nice, and we receive them. But when it comes to the final analysis, unless I have this gift that he gives, I have nothing. What is this gift? Here it is described as the remission of their sins. That's the gift. Jesus came to live a life for you and for me that we could never live.
and counted for us that we might be dressed in beauty. Jesus came to die a death that we would be eternally dying. And he died so that we need not face our death, so that we might be forgiven, a remission of sins. Now he came to live in order to die, in order that we might live. There it is. Now then, if a light is lit in your heart, if with all your heart you sought him and desired him, wise men found him, shepherds were told of him. And what about ourselves? Have we come to that place where we sought him and at last we've found him and we've gazed not physically in the way but with the eyes of faith, we're able to say, we have seen Jesus and our sins are forgiven and we have peace with God. That is the greatest gift of all. Here it is, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. The heart of God, a day spring from on high, light in a dark world. The hope of God to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, the knowledge of salvation. And lastly, the home of God to guide our feet. Where are you going today? Well, we've been saying we're going home. And naturally, we want to hurry home as well. It's a lovely day. A time when we rejoice in many happy human ways. We rejoice in them. That's perfectly all right. And right that we should do so. But where are you going? Where are you going? To guide our way in the way of peace. To guide our feet in the way of peace. If we have been lit up, not with fairy lights, but if we have been lit up with the knowledge of salvation and the remission of sins, then our feet will be guided in the way of peace. Peace of mind, lovely thing. You got peace of mind? You find it in Jesus. Peace in your heart, emotionally now. Beautiful thing. Peace of heart spiritually as a citadel of your soul. Glorious thing to guide our feet in the way of peace until finally we come to him. Where did we come from? We were sitting in darkness. He put us on our feet and we walked with him all the way. We walked with him until finally one day we go to the very source of light itself, to God, and gaze upon our most glorious God. The heart of God, tender mercy, planning salvation. The hope of God, light to those that sit in darkness and the knowledge of salvation. The home of God, we're walking home. That's where we're going. We're going home now, but ultimately home, and walking during our lives a most beautiful way, the way of peace. A long time ago, these words were said, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. What about you? Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Saviour reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods and rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, for as the curse is far as the curse is found, he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, the wonders of his love. Joy to the world. Joy to your heart this day. Peace to your hearts. Peace to your minds. Peace with God. And may our feet be guided in the way of peace. Let us pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we worship thee and praise thee and thank thee for the wonder and the goodness of what thou art. We thank thee, O Lord, for this day. Men will celebrate it, but we have, O Lord, a special way, because we come to the house of God, and we thank thee for the greatest gift of all, the Son of God. And may this, O Lord, make our lives radiant, that men may see in us a joy, that they might long for that joy, because he has lit up our lives. Hear us, O Lord, for thy name's sake. Amen.